elders as friends. We're recording now. I want to just take a brief step back and say that though this is the ordination of one of God's men into God's vineyard, it's not about the man. So recognize as I speak and Max speaks and then Philip speaks that it's Jesus Christ in the man. And that this is the church of Jesus Christ, which He alone builds. And He has been building the man, Jeff Price, for 40 years. So recognize this. Before I read the text in Acts 20, I felt that I just must mention John 15:15, where Jesus, speaking to His disciples, says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus Christ, no longer calling His disciples servants, but friends. Think of that. The 12, the inner circle, the unique relationship between Jesus, James, and John, and Peter. The real inner circle there, those three men. Friendship dominated those times. They were brothers, Jesus being the elder brother, but they were friends. These men served together. These men prayed together. They were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and they were in one spirit, in one accord. These men loved each other. These men would lay down their lives for one another. Acts chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 17 through 21. And then we're going to skip much of what Paul says to the Ephesian elders, and I'm going to pick up in verse 36 and read to the end of chapter 20. The word of the Lord, Acts 20:17. "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them," Paul said to them, "you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 36. "And when he," Paul, "had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship." I am rather convinced this morning that looking at the phrase "on the part of all" and seeing the word "they" three times in those final sentences of chapter 20, that the Ephesian elders were men serving together, who together had such tremendous affection for the Apostle Paul. I think that's clear. These were men who prayed together. They learned together. In the context of Acts 20, they were exhorted and admonished and warned together. And these were men who wept together. This is a picture, an example of how eldership in every biblical church ought to behave, what it ought to look like. So this morning, my part is to share just personal testimony. And I really don't want to cry. I want to share personal testimony of what Jeff Price means to me. Our history is friends. Proverbs 18:24. "A man of many companions may come to ruin." But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In God's providence, at the end of 2010, Amber and I felt a pressing need that we really had to find a better church. And we made a list and determined that we would end up in God's care and providence in one of six cities. Denton was number two on the list. In October of 2010, we visited the first church where I was going to seminary at the time in Heber Springs, Arkansas. And though we had a great weekend, Reformation Day weekend, we knew that this was not where the Lord would have us. So then we set our sights on city number two, church number two, Denton, Texas, Providence Chapel. And around Thanksgiving, toward the end of November 2010, we made a weekend visit to Denton, Texas. And we had a wonderful dinner with Philip and Krista and Mac and Linda at a place that is no longer in business. And then Sunday morning, we came and joined the saints here for church. Amber and I left that weekend having coined a term that was brand new to us, instant fellowship. And we knew immediately, clearly, that this is where the Lord would have us to be. And so, in 6 weeks, rather short order, we found a place that we could rent in a little town east of Denton called Providence Village. And we had seen a home that would fit our needs. At that point, I was working in the home doing business. Amber was homeschooling the girls. And by all appearances, from pictures on the internet, the home looked good and clean. Yet, we determined before we actually made the move, and this is just the weekend before we made the move, we ought to come see the place. And so we drove to Providence Village, Texas, and met our leasing agent, and she walked us through this home. And it did not at all look like it did in the pictures. So we asked her, is there any other place that might meet our needs in this neighborhood? She said, there's a house that just came on the market today. It was a foreclosure. It had been completely remodeled, new paint throughout the house, new flooring. I mean, really, it looked and felt like a new home. The address was 10113 Lakeview Drive. We were the first people to see it. This was a Saturday. We saw it. We loved it. We made application for it. We got it. And the following week, January 5th, 2011, we moved in. Well, this home, in God's providence, located in Providence Village, for a family moving to be a part of Providence Chapel, was providentially across the street from Jeff and Tommy Price. Well, we didn't know them at this point. We weren't longtime friends. I knew that he was a deacon, but boy, I had a lot to learn. That's God's providence in the move, just over 4 years ago. The nearness, right? Just by proximity, there had to be something happen. God was certainly up to something. And ultimately, over a period of 2.5 years of us living across the street from Jeff and Tommy, the Lord wonderfully knit our hearts together. That's a few words that cover big things. But that's the reality. That's what God did. And so when I can read Proverbs 18:24 with confidence, I feel of Jeff Price, that yes, he is a friend to me that sticks closer than a brother. The ministry. I have much to say, but I'll just say a few things. In how God kindly provided such a friend so close in proximity, and how he at various times ministered to me or to my family. I remember this was 2011, our first year of being here. I was up in the morning about 5 o'clock in the study, and I was there on my face and praying, and really felt an overwhelming sense of the attack of the enemy. I had only felt it to this degree a few times in my life, but I felt such oppression, and here I am trying to pray. I felt ultimately a deep fear that I was about to die. It was not logical. I wasn't sick at the time, but it was very real. I picked up the phone and I called Jeff Price. And he, about 5:30 in the morning, comes walking across the street. I meet him down in our front little dining room area, and he prayed for me. And the Lord used that as a real means of grace. Essentially, within minutes of that time with Jeff, I had victory, the fear departed, and hasn't since returned. The Lord gave real help there. This is just an example of his ministry to us. I know there was another time, this is much more practical in nature, but Amber and I, we try to always have one of us in the home to be with Grandma and Grandpa, if possible. Particularly during this period of time, shortly after Grandma and Grandpa had moved in with us. This is late 2013. And Amber and I, separate in a way, weren't going to be able to make it home in time to where one of us could always be there. I picked up the phone. I called Jeff Price. And he came. And he had a couple enjoyable hours with my grandfather, Carl Ray. So, big examples, little examples, there's just so many that I could share. But the fact is that God provided for me a reliable and faithful friend. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Secondly, the importance of friendship as elders. Then I'm going to wrap this up. First and foremost, church, elders are brothers and elders are friends. Piper wrote a book titled Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. Well, that's not really the theme of his book, but the title works for this morning. Because we do not relate as elders to one another as professionals or peers. We relate to one another as brothers and friends. So, just to be clear, Jeff did not, in some professional manner, submit a resume for us to review. We as elders simply recognized God's hand upon the man in his call to the ministry. We are not businessmen, but brothers. We're not competitors, but companions. We're not individualistic, but inseparable. This is the eldership of a biblical church. Unity amongst elders. This is so needed. And this is so wonderful when it's experienced. And by the grace of God, we have that here. This shared unity between the members of the eldership both nourishes and protects the unity of the body. Imagine what the flock of God would do when the elders God has raised up are bickering and against one another. There's needed intimacy in a biblical eldership, a depth of trust, standing arm in arm. We're just locked in, we're together to the end. Prayer for one another, the sweetness of fellowship with one another, truly being able to share burdens that we have as elders in a unique way with other elders that God has raised up. And then there's the example of biblical eldership. The way in which we relate to one another as elders should only exemplify how all the people of God are to relate to one another. In that sense, the sermon that Philip preached some months ago now on the one another's of the New Testament, they apply to us all. To conclude, I want to say that I am so thankful and feel so privileged to serve alongside those who are not my peers, but my friends. To God be the glory.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 58. Jesus, the very thought of thee, this sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. Find a sweeter sound. Well, I'm going to speak to Jeff Price, and I want his full attention. You can eavesdrop, you can listen in. But this is a charge this morning to him as an elder, as a pastor, that God is putting him into officially the work this morning. I have two ministry life passages, Jeff, for you. So here they are. The first is Acts 20, verse 28. Paul said, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Paul the Apostle said those words to the Ephesian elders, and he said these words also in his second epistle to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." I have a longtime friend of about 40 years, Donald Whitney. We were in school together, and after 40 years in the ministry, he made some standalone reflections that became very real to him after 40 years in ministry. So, Jeff, these are just some standalone thoughts that are really true. He said, "The church is more important than I thought when I started." The church is more important than I thought when I started. Don said, "Christians are the greatest people in the world." He said, "My greatest challenge at the beginning of my ministry continues to be dealing with my own heart." Don said, "It's nearly impossible for a man who marries poorly to make it in the ministry. But an excellent wife is the greatest earthly gift you have, even more than you can imagine." Whitney said, "Some of the most humble, unassuming Christians provide the greatest encouragement to pastors." This is true. "Having the right books is far more important than having many books." Whitney said, "God's grace has shined brightest through the suffering of His people." And about ministry, he says, "There is no easy way to do a hard task, and ministry is full of hard tasks." He said, "Some of the greatest pastors are men who live, serve, and die in relative obscurity." Yes. And finally, Don said, God is far more patient than I could have ever imagined. So you, as you enter the eldership today, for what we hope is 40 years, you'd be 80 if you get 40. We hope that you will, we know you have God's patience in store and the patience and love of the flock. Martin Lloyd-Jones said a man should only enter the Christian ministry if he can stay out of it. And Spurgeon said, do not be a minister if you can help it. Well, this is true. The call to the Christian ministry does not make you better than anyone else. It does not mean that other vocations in life are not God-given and cannot glorify God fully. We saw that 2 weeks ago in our men's retreat when we talked about the gift of work and God, that God's in that for all men. But it does mean that God calls men to the high calling of the gospel ministry, which is a gift of God and a calling of God that is unique and unequaled. Mothers and others don't make a preacher. God makes a preacher and He calls them. The church then recognizes that gifting and that calling. And that's what's happening here today. You are called to the gospel office of being a pastor. You're calling under God at Providence Chapel. You've been called as a minister in this congregation, and you are today ordained in pursuit of and obedience to that call. Called by Christ, recognized by the church. And I believe there are three main functions which are given to an elder that the Bible makes very clear, and I just want to briefly call you to those three areas of responsibility: preaching, prayer, and pastoring. First of all, you are called to and commissioned as an elder to preach. A call to be an elder is a commission to preach the gospel, to preach the word of God, to preach the whole counsel of God. You're called to give yourself to the word of God and to the ministry of that word every opportunity He gives you. The scriptures in all their richness and their sufficiency are your authority. The Bible is your textbook, it's your roadmap, it's your manual for ministry. Authority, divine authority, is inherent in the truth itself. Your Bible is perfect truth and it carries with it its own authority. So in a primary way, you should be a man of one book. Read other books at times, yes, but you're ever brought back to being a man of one book. And you are to be a true theologian. You are to be able in the scriptures. You are to be able to teach. You are to rightly divide and portion out the Word of God in its proper setting and context. Vance Havner said, God is on the lookout today for a man who will be quiet enough to get a message from Him, brave enough to preach it, and honest enough to live it. That's what you are to do. Preaching, what about it? It is, the Bible says, divine foolishness. It's a mystery. It is the ordained means God has given for the salvation of souls, for the edification of His people, for the advancement of His kingdom. So when you ever stand to preach, the scriptures are your only message, not your opinions. The truth itself is your authority. Being an ambassador of Jesus Christ is your commission. And this congregation and the world is your field in which to labor. The Holy Spirit is your empowering helper. A call to preach is yours. Secondly, a call to pray. We must give ourselves to prayer in the ministry of the Word, the Apostle said in Acts chapter 6. Before you go forth to speak for God to men, you must first speak to God for those people, for the saints, for the flock, for the unconverted. Prayer. The apostle said, I urge therefore, first of all, that prayers, supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You must be a man of prayer in private if you will be a man of God in public ministry. And Isaac Watts said, if we neglect or abandon the secret chamber, then our spiritual life will decay. That's true for every Christian. But we would add, for an elder, if we neglect the secret chamber as a pastor, then true ministry and its needed power will also decay. True men of God are always men of prayer. Bob Jennings was preeminently a man of secret prayer. Leonard Ravenhill had power with men because he was alone in prayer. So your calling to preach, which is a public ministry, and your calling to prayer is a secret, hidden ministry. Behind the door, with the door closed, God said, he who is in secret will reward you openly. Someone said a pastor's study should be an upper room and not a lounge. Meeting with God there, crying out for His presence to help us to do what we don't have the sufficiency or the wisdom or the ability to do ourselves. So, Jeff, as an elder, I exhort you to major on private prayer more than anything else as an elder. It was said of the Apostle Paul when he was known as Saul of Tarsus after his conversion. The first comment about his life was, behold, he prays. Be a man of prayer before you are anything else. Elijah, God wrote a 2-volume biography. The first volume, number one, was he prayed. In volume two, he prayed again. Be a man who preaches and be a man who prays. Finally, a call to the eldership is a call to pastor, to shepherd. It's a verb, not an office. Elders are to pastor. It's an action that elders are to do. They are to shepherd, to feed, to care for, to be available to nurture the saints, every one of them, to help them, to strengthen the flock among which you live and labor. John Newton said, pastoral ministry is a bitter thing at times that is full of sweet. And he said, it's a sorrow at times that is full of joy. Newton knew what he was talking about. Your good example will always be the best sermon anyone ever hears. And Andrew Bonar said, we must not only speak faithfully to our people in preaching, we must live faithfully for them as well. So you're called to pastoral care, and this is an all-important responsibility that never goes away. And in relation to this, I would charge you with this simple exhortation. You are to shepherd the church of God as if you were the only one available to do it. This calling is on you. You are not an elder junior. You are an elder today with Lee and Philip and I. And the work is on you. The pastoral care is a tremendous privilege and responsibility. So shepherd the church of God. I cannot understand pastors or elders anywhere in any church who neglect or who don't have time for any member of the flock, however least and small or weak they might be. There are no little ones. There are no secondary important sheep. We are to be committed to their love and their care, and to shepherd them. We will not get our sermons from people, but sometimes you will get sermons when you're with them, because you will see their heart as you listen, as you move among them, as you become acquainted with their needs, as you care about them, as you become acquainted with their situations and their their thoughts and their hearts and their views, their temptations. Then the Word of God that you ever bring forth and the one-on-one times with people will be brought to bear to meet specific needs and in caring for specific saints. Be always ready to give an audience to any of the flock, as individuals or as families. And what I mean is, have a heart for each one. This is a calling from Christ, the great chief shepherd, to you as an under shepherd. You are to be the instrument of dispensing oil, the oil of joy for those who are mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness to lift up those who are bowed down, to strengthen the weak knees, and to minister to those when you know they have a broken heart or they're weary in body. So, as a shepherd, be among them. You initiate care of them. And you are to show them with your example and your time and your words that you love them.
Yes.
For all this, preaching and praying and pastoring, you greatly need the Holy Spirit more than ever. And I want to impress upon you that you realize deeply and increasingly your complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit for all this ministry. It is the Holy Spirit and Him alone who gives help in preaching. It is He alone who will energize you to pray regularly. And it is He alone that will give you a pastor's heart and give you words in season when you're with people, when you have no clue what to say as you approach the time. It is He alone who is your helper and your enabler and your empower. So more and more you should realize and pray for the complete ministry of the Holy Spirit upon you and through you, and then you will be able to discharge your responsibilities. Finally, remember that you are the servant of Christ and the servant of the people in this pastoral work as an elder. Be friendly to the brethren and to all who attend here, and be humble. Be clothed with humility in the pastoral work, in preaching, and in all your duties. When an elder is not humble, it's offensive to God, and it is an offense to all discerning people. Walk in humility. Realize your own limitations, and be always ready to receive from those who are taught in the Word as they communicate unto you who teaches them. But always remember that you are the servant of Christ, and you are not to seek to please men. You must be ready to exhort and rebuke and reprove when necessary, and you must be strengthened for this God-given calling. Christ appoints pastors in His church not to rule over, but to serve. Do not be afraid to reprove. Do not be afraid to rebuke, just as you are not to be afraid to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Jeff, I give you these charges today in the humble expectation and the hope that you will continue to be an example, that you'll be an under-shepherd, realizing at all times that one day you will give an account to the great shepherd of the sheep, who Himself, as the shepherd of the sheep, gave His life for them. Amen. Let us sing another hymn, 380. Then Brother Philip will come.
Rise up, O men of God, is He
God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task brought, a harp and make her great. Rise by the cross of Christ, where his feet have trod, as brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God.
What a special day. I'm not making any promises or any comments about not crying, because y'all know me well enough. I decided a few years ago I'll just let it rip. I'm going to live unto Him. So it is a joy, really beyond words, to have this day. And as Mac just gave a wonderful charge to Brother Jeff, which I say a hearty amen to, I felt it to my own soul. I'm sure Lee did too. I would like to give a charge to the church. It seems only fitting, right? When the Apostle Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders, he was telling them what to do with the church. And therefore, it was implied that the church should receive those things. So I will, by God's grace, I'll get to these in a minute. 15 years ago, Jeff, almost to the month, 15 years ago right now, I met a young Christian man through a friend at my work, through a mechanical engineer. So I think in God's providence, I was the first one to ever meet Brother Jeff. And this young man was hungry to know God and to learn how to study the Bible. I can picture those initial days when Jeff would come over for a Bible study. And in those early weeks together, it was very clear that he was humble and that he was sincere and that he was a true Christian friend. I mean, it was so evident in early weeks of being together, happy, joyful, kind, all those things that were a mark of the Holy Spirit, but humble, sincere, and a true friend. Yes, that was Jeff Price. So in some ways today, I feel like Paul must have felt with young Timothy. In many ways, Jeff is like a son in the faith to me. Now, I know there are many men feel that way about Jeff. I am by no means the only man that would probably feel that. But I feel it uniquely because at the point of when God brought him into my life and when he brought him into Mac's life and he brought him into others that were in the early days of the church. So he has been like a son in the faith. Precious, dear, faithful, amazing, reflecting back. So today is Mac and Lee have already shared. Today marks a powerful testimony of the grace of Jesus Christ in Jeff's life. That's the marvel. Broken vessels God raises up to declare treasures, eternal treasures in Jesus Christ. Jeff did not bring this day about, I can guarantee you that. Jesus Christ did. So let us all remember, beloved, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd over His church. He's the one that keeps it. Christ does. And a part of how He keeps His church is by providing under-shepherds to care for His people. That's already been shared uniquely in the way Lee and Mac have already shared some things. It's Christ as the chief shepherd. So just a few reminders quickly before I give some particular admonitions or charges to the church. Remember this, saints. He said this on Piper's book. This is not his profession. This is God's calling. Those are very different things. You can go sign up at a college anywhere in the U.S. or North America and you get a degree. Right? But when the hand of the Almighty, when the Holy Spirit calls a man, it is a phenomenal thing. It's a divine thing. It's not his profession. He's been raised up and set apart and equipped by God. By God, by Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. He is not the product of men. He's the product of the Holy Spirit. And as Acts 20:28 says, he is made an overseer or a shepherd by the Holy Spirit. That's what the text says in Acts 20 that Mac read, that Paul said, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Men do power moves all the time in corporate America and in all kinds of industries. Men make power moves all the time to flaunt their ego and their intellect and their a power, if you want to call it that. But that's not what they do in the Church of the Living God. Jesus Christ does it. Men don't do that. He does it. Christ. That's the first thing to remember. Second, remember that Jeff does not feel sufficient for this calling. What man does? Brother Ray, did you ever feel sufficient? Dick Oaks, do you ever feel sufficient? Do you ever feel sufficient in yourself? Never, never, never feel sufficient in ourselves. And yet, our sufficiency is in Christ and Christ alone. And Jeff wants to serve faithfully, yet he will feel today and this week and in the years to come inadequate. It's just real. You just feel so unable when people are hurting and needs in your own home, in the saints' home, in preaching and teaching. But this will be his abiding hope, that Jesus Christ owns his people and Christ will use him just who he is. God will use him. I love the way Brother Charles Leiter said it years ago, and I quote it often. You have to trust the work of the Holy Spirit in His people. You have to. And Jeff will do that all the days of his labor. And number three, these are just reminders. Jeff desires, saints, the greatest good for your soul. Hear me here. That's all he really desires. That's been true for a number of years, right? In his labor in so many ways within this body. He wants the greatest good for your soul. He is not after personal advancement. He's not trying to make a name for himself. And he's certainly not striving for the place of power over people. To become a shepherd and an overseer over the sheep is to give your life. It's not about power. It's not about a name. It's not about advancing oneself. American preachers for decades have corrupted this. Wrong. It's man-centered. No power of God. No service and humility in them. Building empires. Then go start a bank or something. Don't waste your time in the Church of the Living God. Stop this stuff. The Church of the Living God is about giving oneself as Christ did. So he's not trying to advance himself. He wants the greatest good for you. His hope is that all of you, children, hear me. All the children, my children, all the children, hear me. All the young people. His desire and these men's desire is that you will grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's it. Okay? All of you children, our greatest desire is that you come to Jesus Christ, know Him, and serve Him all the days of your life. That's it in its essence. That's what Jeff wants for all of you. I remember years ago in the small Denton church, way back when Brother Baker was here, and Tom and Betty were part of it. There was 20 of us, right? Tom, were you? He's back. 22 of us or something. And Baker had been wanting more sheep, more to care for. And the Holy Spirit said, are 22 souls not enough to look after? And Baker had peace then. Oh yeah, 22 are plenty. So the greatest good for the souls that you're to watch after, as the Apostle Paul said, until Christ be formed in you. That's his desire. So those are just some reminders to all of us. And to you, at the individual level, this is a precious thing to have a shepherd and a new shepherd that will co-labor and give his life. It is an extension or an expression of Christ. That's the key. I got to see this in a true way starting in the mid-1980s. And it revolutionized my view of the church and the reality of men who would faithfully preach and shepherd the souls of others and me. So with those quick reminders, what should be your heart attitude? What should be the heart attitude of you as a Christian towards a new elder? I would like to mention five key areas. Some of this is very repetitive that we went through 2 months ago in the last new members class. The responsibility of the sheep to the elders. Turn to Hebrews 13. I want to read this full passage and then I'll quote excerpts from a few other passages. Hebrews 13:17. The writer of Hebrews says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Looky here. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. We'll stop there. For they watch. Let me remind you, realize is your responsibility as a sheep here to be cared for, that the Lord has ordained Jeff to watch for your soul. Ask the board of directors at Apple Computer, you watching for anybody's souls? I'd like to forget your bottom line. I don't want to hear about your bottom line. You watching for anybody? You care for anybody? Ask owners of professional sports organizations. Ask others in any kind of industry. Do you watch for their soul? Hardly. But here, saints, He is watching for your soul. It's fundamental to being an overseer or being a shepherd over sheep. And so to obey means stay under that spiritual oversight. Let it be a means of grace to help you. Just as a father is a protection for his children, shepherds are to help protect the flock. So the watch, or to be watching for, means to guard you from harm. It also means to encourage you in growing or advancing. And it also means to admonish or help you learn and live holy. To exhort you and teach you to live a holy life. Jeff's not interested, nor should any other true elder, in meddling with things that aren't his to meddle with. Right? I think we talked about this in the class several weeks ago. You may want advice or input from an elder or another brother on a used car or something else. But that's not a biblical area that he's to take the shepherding over. So I didn't tell him what the car to buy. He teaches him the ways of God, the Word of God, how to live holy. And yes, he can give warning. Yes, when he sees something that concerns him. So be sensitive to that. Count it a privilege to be watched for. What a privilege to be cared for, watched for. It's somebody that's saying, hey, brother, what about this? Careful about this. Sister, encourage. Be encouraged in the Lord. He's with you. I know these days are hard. So he watches for you. Put yourself in a place to be watched for.
Yes.
Don't stay out on the fringe. Come in, be watched for, be under that, be cared for. What a privilege to be cared for and watched for. Second of all, realize the Lord has ordained him to feed you. You covered this quite well. To feed you. Peter said in that wonderful statement or speaking about elders in 1 Peter 5, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed them. Are you hungry? Then be fed. To be under that kind of feeding. It's not just preaching. It's not just in a teaching place. But any kind of parting of truth, parting of encouragement, giving you things that will help you in the Christian life. One-on-one. Two or three together. Realize that part of His ministry, not all of that, will be feeding. Okay? Feeding. Jeff is to help nourish your soul. He's to be a part of those cooking things for you, setting things forth. And so, he will labor to faithfully feed you, but you must be ready. Right? I have to be ready on the Sundays that I'm not speaking. I have to be ready to feast upon what Christ gives me through other men. Be fed. Be ready. Be hungry. I think I said in the class, come with an appetite. Don't be a picky eater. I don't like that. I wish they wouldn't preach out of that book. Ah, man. Be ready to receive. Conrad's great at this. Just get what God has for you. Get it all. Hang on to it. Let it feed your soul. So Jeff will be personally, one-on-one, and corporately feeding, teaching, preaching, admonishing. So be ready. Make that life-giving to yourself. It will strengthen you and it'll bring you along in your Christian growth. You need it. I need it. None of us are a finished product. Don't be self-analytical all the time. Just open up and feast. Sometimes it's just a word out there in the hallway. That's why I like to work the lunch line. I'm giving tips now. Okay, I'm showing some of my technique. But I can, at the lunch line, I've got captured audience. I see people. That's why I like to work that lunch hallway in there. Because there you all are. You're not going anywhere. But there's sometimes there that something connects or something, there's a need. There needs to be a word. What is it? A word fitly spoken is like apples of... Ron, help me with it. Apples of gold. Is that how it says it? Yeah, pictures of... It, to be able... Jeff's going to give you... He already does. He's been doing it for years, right? He speaks into my life. When I met him 15 years ago, I wasn't the only one speaking. He and his friend Jared and the companionship that we had and the growth that grew from there, he's speaking into my life. But as a shepherd, he will feed you. Number three, realize the Lord has ordained him as one whose faith you follow. Now that's powerful. Whose faith follow. You remember the Hebrew writer, the same chapter that I read from back in verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. I like it in the ESV. It says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I think it's Paul Washer that I like to indirectly spar a little bit with. There is no other heroes or whatever. It says imitate their faith. I think that's heroes, maybe. It means men that you look to and admire, men like Dick and Charles that have been so influential, and Mac and me and hundreds of others. You imitate, you learn from them. They shape you, they teach you big truths, doctrinal truths, how to rightly divide truth, how to shepherd, how to love, how to serve, how to have a good attitude. Well, you have to have staying power. And therefore, to imitate examples of Jeff, where his life. So don't miss that. If you see you young men, you young couples, wherever you are in the Christian life, there will be things continually about Jeff and other elders that you can follow, that you can learn from, and you can implement in your own life. Mac has spent 40 years following others. Arguably, nobody in the U.S. has connected with so many different Christians and learned from them. Read about them. Have coffee with them. Go across the ocean to be with them in God's providence. But you here, right here, are to follow the faithful example of your elder, Brother Jeff. He has godliness that you can learn from. You can imitate. Number four, realize the Lord has ordained that you provide for Him. It would be easy to push this one aside. We'll deal with that in a... But if you're going to be true to all of Scriptures, there are teachings about making sure that elders are cared for, right? 1 Timothy 5, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Just be aware and sensitive that as an elder, as a laborer, as one who is in the field of service to Christ's bride and His people, he should be cared for. It's a universal principle that shepherds are cared for. There's no exact formula. There's no exact boundaries exactly what that means. The Holy Spirit leads that. Different men, different places, different times, different needs. And that would be true of elders in different churches in different places, from the U.S. or in other places across the world. But the principle is, make sure he's taken care of. It's sad when you hear about pastors who get a measly little bit taken care of. They're not even care. This is Jesus Christ's servant. Where's the problem here? They should be provided for. They should be cared for in a genuine way by the church. It shouldn't be something that's found out about later, and that it has to be dealt with. Shepherds and elders are to be cared for. God's church should ever be discerning and sensitive about that. Not that we make a big thing about teaching on these. Very, very, very rarely would this even come up. It came up briefly in the new members class. But churches are to care for their shepherds, for their elders, and provide for them in different times and places and different needs. Let God direct there. Just have the principle within you. All of us have that. And number five, I said I had five things. Mac had three, I've got five for the church. watch for. He's going to watch for you, so let Him watch for you. He's going to feed you, so let Him feed you. He's got examples in His life that you can follow. Follow that. Make sure He's cared for and provided for. And fifth, realize the Lord has ordained that you esteem Him very highly in love. If we get this one right, we get them all right. We have the right heart about it all. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." It's such a beautiful way of expressing it. In all the years of working or vocational things and out there, nobody has ever said anything with that weight and that beauty and glory to it. No manager, no CEO, no other in the workplace out there is going to say things like that. To esteem them very highly in love. Paul is getting to the core of Christian living, right? Who we are as a people. Christ in us. Us loving one another, loving shepherds, giving ourselves for one another. Acts 2, throughout the book of Acts, the love of Christ and His people. Yes, saints, esteem Him very highly in love. What does it mean to esteem Him? What comes to your mind? Have the highest view towards, respect towards. Have this view of that I know He's there for my good. Esteem Him, cherish Him, treasure that. Recently I shared briefly, I can't remember if it was Mac and Lee, but about the pastor who in my young years who was a true pastor. In the years I was converted, he did care for me. And when we go to those youth camps, anybody ever been to False Creek up in Oklahoma? We would go there and we got to be with him more one-on-one. And he had such a love, such a care. And so that, and I was a late teenager. And those were years where I even more, in my own way, I wasn't looking at this verse back then, but I esteemed or I respected him and what he was for me. And he cared for me. So saints, esteem him. Be thankful. Be thankful for him. Love him deeply. As though that needs to be said, but Paul is exhorting the Thessalonian believers, love your shepherds, love Jeff Price as you love Christ. Focus in that kind of a perspective. He will fail, we fail all the time. But esteem him very highly in love. Oh, this is just such a wind that'll lift us and carry us if we get hold of this, that the Holy Spirit makes it real in this church more and more. So saints, each of you, brother, sister, you young people that are converted in Christ, feel this reality, esteeming Him, and show it to Him. There'll be hard things you'll go through, and esteem Him as one to be there for your life, for your soul. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Let me finish with the quote that I always like to go to, at least the sermon. I'm going to quote a different one. I cooked popcorn after everybody went to bed last night because it was quiet, and I got out Jonathan Edwards again. I had to. Volume 2 in the works of Jonathan Edwards. Sitting on the chair by myself under the lamp. Page 17 in Volume 2. You must read it if you haven't to this day. It's the ordination of Samuel Buell in Long Island when Jonathan Edwards spoke that sermon on that man's ordination. It will blow you away. So what would Jonathan Edwards say to us today? What would he say to Jeff? What would he say to this church in time and in space if he was here with us? I think I know what he would say because he's already said it. He said it 270 years ago, almost exactly, 1746. Let me finish with this. Saints, what would Jonathan Edwards say to us? He would say this, receive him. I'm talking about Jeff. Receive him. Unite yourselves to him in covenant. Honor him. Subject yourselves to him and obey him. Only for Christ's sake. And as one that represents Jesus Christ and acts in his name towards you. Amen.
We're going to pray now. So if Lee and Philip and Jeff will join us. And then after we pray for Jeff, we'll ask Tommy to come down and join us, and we'll pray for them as a couple and for them as a family. So let's join our hearts together now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the making of a man.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, over these years you drew him and you kept him in his youth. You led him in the way of God, though he knew it not often. You shaped him.
Yes.
You kept him from certain things, and you guided his path on the way you wanted him to take. And then you brought him to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And Lord, you saved him in those years.
Right.
Even before that. And we thank you that you've brought him to this day.
Amen.
Hitherto has the Lord helped him. And we just today, Father, say Ebenezer. Look what God has done.
Right. Yes.
Thank you for shaping him, teaching him, working in him, drawing him, equipping him, gifting him with gifts and graces.
Right.
And Father, today we ask you, as we lay hands on him, that you would impart to him gifts that he's not had before today. We pray you'd impart to him an anointing and an empowering of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that he would walk humbly before you all the days of his life.
Right. Yes.
We pray, Lord, that you'd make him a true shepherd after God's own heart, and a true shepherd with a heart for the people that he cares for, from the least to the oldest. Lord, we commend him to you and the word of your grace.
Yes.
Which is able to keep him and give him an inheritance among all those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So bless him this day. And Lord, as a church, we greatly rejoice in your gift to this church of his life over these years as a believer and then as a deacon. And Lord, today as an elder,
amen,
we glorify God because of this, and we give you thanks in Christ's name.
Yes. Father, we do give you the glory for the mercies of God, day by day, year by year, in the hand of the Almighty in men's lives. Lord Jesus, you said to the apostles, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And that has continued through the centuries, the men of God, the people that we read about, those servants who have faithfully served your bride, your people. Lord, you chose them. You raise them up. You give them gifts. You sanctify them. You teach them the way of righteousness. You guard their paths. You keep them from evil. You crush the work of the enemy. You carry them all the way. Lord, how merciful you've been. And we pray this for Jeff. Lord, I stand in awe today of what you've done, how you brought him into my life and into our lives, into even as Lee shared, what a precious thing, friends, companions, joint heirs on the way to God's city, the city of God.
Yes.
I pray you give him fullness of the Holy Spirit today and in the coming weeks and years to labor with strength and joy, yes, joy, with faith, trusting you, always looking to the chief shepherd, trusting you, O Lamb of God, to keep him and to keep this flock. Thank you. Blessed be your name.
Father, we together are grateful at this trophy of your grace.
Yeah.
Lord, you have built the man. It is not strong and gifted and talented men that you appoint for the work of the ministry. It is weak men. It is needy men. It is broken men. whom you restore to life, whom you lavish grace upon, whom you fit and ready for such a high call. Lord, you've done this, and we rejoice. This is but another stepping stone, another monument, another Ebenezer in the life of this church, now 15 years strong. Lord, you truly will build your church. And here is another living stone set apart for your work amongst your people. And we rejoice. I pray, Lord, that in the coming hours, in the coming days, in the coming weeks, that you would refresh and continue to build the man.
Amen.
I pray, Lord, that selfishness would be set aside, that the glory of Christ would more and more become his chief aim.
Yes.
That the work of the ministry, the love for the saints, the love for the Word of God would only increase in his heart and mind.
Right. Yes.
Lord, that you would make him, as a minister of the gospel, effective and fruitful. That he would be one of those always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that his labor is not in vain in the Lord. We pray for giftedness to come. Things that are lacking, you supply. We pray for the power of Christ to rest upon him all the days of his life, that he would know Christ in such intimate ways that it would be evident in his examples. Father, we love him. We do cherish him. We pray your great blessing upon him. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Tommy, could you join us? Father, we thank you that you made Jeff and Tommy one.
Amen.
I just have vivid memories of sitting with him at IHOP one morning, not long before they met, and he said, "I don't know if I'll ever be married." And soon, Lord, you used Bob Woodruff, her grandfather, to bring them together. And we're grateful for all you've done. Thank you that you kept them for one another. Thank you, Lord, how your hand has been on them.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, they've walked as an example, as a couple. And thank you for the dear children you've given them.
Thank you.
Lord, we pray for her. We pray for their family and their home. Your hand would be upon them, that you'd, Lord, keep them from any new attacks of the enemy. We pray that they would have great joy in serving you together.
Amen.
And Lord, we pray that they would keep all things balanced and in perspective. Lord, there will be times that he will need to be gone when she would like him there. So give her a joyful heart. Lord, make him sensitive when he needs to be there and not be gone. And let great grace be on their home and their house and their schedule as Jeff now enters into this ministry that you've given him. Lord, bless them together. Give them much help. Give them new grace for new territory.
Amen.
And lead them in the way of God perfectly for your name's sake. Encourage them together in it. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to sing a hymn and then we're going to pray. And I want Nick Hansen, I would like for you to close in prayer. And I would like for all of you in this closing time of prayer to pray for Jeff. I know you have been as we prayed. But Nick, I want you to voice in prayer the congregation's prayer for Jeff. And dismiss us in that prayer as well. Let's stand. 378. Amen. Let's pray.
Father, I thank you so much.